Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ. My name is Will, and I have the joy of serving here with our pastoral team as the pastor of spiritual formation at West End. We exist as a community to live the loving light of Christ in this world, and we're grateful for that call today. If you are visiting with us, or even if you're a member with us, I invite you to record your attendance. You can fill out the attendance pew pad, or you can follow the appropriate links online. I also want to lift up two ways that are more regular announcements that we are partnering with our community. One is that we celebrate that God brings all people into this place, including people with disabilities. And that means that regularly we will have service dogs in our sanctuary. These dogs are beautiful and smart and wonderful and lovely and all the adjectives I could describe, and they're also working. So we invite you to not pet these dogs or call them by name, even though you might have that temptation, because they are working. We also celebrate that we are a community that is surrounded by so many different local universities, and we love being a place where university students are finding life and connection. And so after the service today, if you would like to go to lunch with other university students, you can meet in the narthex, which is the back of the sanctuary, where Molly Borneman will lead the group to a lunch spot where you can have a common conversation. Looking ahead to the next week or two, I also want to lift up other ways that you can connect with our congregation. On Tuesday, we will start a new six-week grief group. You can find details about that grief group in the bulletin, or you can contact the Reverend Shannon Baxter for questions. But this grief group is tailored specifically to discuss and to process together the particular grief of navigating the holidays without loved ones. And so if you find yourself in that place and position in this season of your life, we invite you to become a part of that six-week grief group. We're also grateful that next Friday night, our children's ministry is creating space for our kids to come together and our parents to have a break and a night out. So we have Parents Night Out next Friday night. You can register online and find more details in the bulletin. This is a great time for parents to connect with one another and to experience life in that way as their children have fun. Next Sunday, we will have our Tuesday service of healing prayer here in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock. You need not have any familiarity with the worship and liturgy of the Tuesday community. All are welcome to come and to attend that service next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And then finally, I want to recognize that many of our students are beginning to prepare for finals, and we want to come alongside our students with warmth and encouragement. And so we are collecting our Vanderbilt College Student Care packages over the next coming weeks. If you are interested in partnering with us in that way, you can contact the Reverend Amy Baxter. And the due date for those gifts for the college students is November 24th. Friends, already my life has been blessed in worshiping with our church this morning in the 8:40 service, being blessed by the music and by the story of Ruth. And I pray that together God would unite us in spirit and in truth as we worship the living God.
Keep silence. Keep silence. Before. Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. O God, we are wonderfully and beautifully made. Let us join in worship as we remember your love. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Eternal Comforter, we apologize for our willingness to leave, for how easy it is to turn away from your creations. Give us the wisdom to know when to stay, and help us find the courage to remain steadfast in our love. Calm our fears in the face of uncertainty. Make us aware of your never-ending mercy and care. Travel with us, God of hope, and we will let ourselves be guided by the light of your Spirit. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please join with me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 211 in your pew Bible and page 114 in the story Bible. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. He is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to him until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Ruth responded, saying, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite our adults to be seated, and if our children want to come and join me. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Run on up here. We've got more than enough room. All right, y'all, I'm going to give you a little bit of Bible trivia that you can impress your Sunday school teachers with, or you can impress the folks in children's church with, okay? And you can put this in your back pocket, and you can bring it and reveal it today or in years to come. So we heard a reading from the book called Ruth. It's a short story. It's four chapters. And what's interesting is that Ruth comes right after a book called Judges and right before another book called 1 Samuel. And these books, Judges and 1 Samuel, they're all about powerful people, judges, kings, all the things that kings do when they fight against each other and all blah, 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 blah. But Ruth is all about ordinary people like you and me, seeing each other, loving each other, caring for each other. And friends, I want you to hear today that you are so powerful, that God has given you such great power. It doesn't matter how old you are, how small you are. God has given you such great power to love. And I want you to always remember that, even when the adults are talking about who is powerful in the world, that Jesus says that you are powerful and that you are the ones who will lead us in what it means to love, not in the future, but right now. And so I'm going to sing a song with you that I think you might know. I'm going to invite our adults, if you catch the tune, to sing it with me. And we'll sing two verses. This is how it goes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Might that be our prayer today and every day. Amen. I'm gonna invite our 3, 4, 5-year-olds and kindergartners. If you want to go to children's church with Emily and Pastor Maggie, all the rest of us can stay here. As our children find their way, I invite you to pray with me. May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you even say? What's the script? That's a question that a stranger in a coffee shop asked me. He saw me being the only person in that said coffee shop with a Bible open and a notebook full of notes, because you see, I'm one of those old school souls that still likes a moleskin. And he saw me, he learned that I was a pastor, and he asked, what does the church have to offer? What goodness, what healing, what hope does the church have to offer? And this conversation happened weeks ago. And yet he was curious, what words does the church have to speak after months of us hearing words used and listening to words being used to cajole and to convince us, to attack opponents, to stir up in us our deepest fears and resentments? What do you even say? What's the script? And my answer is the same today as it was a couple of weeks ago. There is no script. God loves us too much. God miraculously trusts us too much just to give us a script and demand that we follow it. We believe that God is still speaking and we are still listening, that God is perfecting and creating the world anew. It's our prayer as Methodists, our morning prayer. We say, new every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long, every day, you are working for good in this world. Stir up in us desire to serve and to partner with you. We are not a scripted people. We are a storied people. I didn't say all that to him, I promise. That would have really freaked him out. I don't want you to see me in a coffee shop and immediately run away. But I do believe it's the word we need to receive today. We are not a scripted people. We are a storied people. And here in the church, in this community that is being formed by Jesus, as we respond to his call, we are a people whose story is a story of God. I want to be abundantly clear that our defining story is not the story of Donald Trump, just as it was not the story of Joe Biden. Our defining story is the story of God, and the only person who can direct us in how we will live that story is Jesus, speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit and the common life we are cultivating in this place as his church. And today, Jesus directs all of our attention in wondering how we are to live to the immigrant story of a woman named Ruth. Last week, Pastor Stacy set the stage for us that Ruth, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it sets the scene that this is the time of the judges, which is a season in Israel's history that was filled with extraordinary political violence. There was a lack of a moral compass in those times. In fact, one of the refrains throughout the book of Judges is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And beyond the political desperation of the moment, there's natural disaster that's occurring. There's a famine in Israel that forces Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, the famine forces Naomi and her two sons and her husband to flee Bethlehem and go to Moab, which is now today Jordan. While in Moab, Naomi's sons meet two Moabite women. They get married. But when the book of Ruth begins, Naomi's two sons have died. Her husband has died too. She's left with nothing but two Moabite women, two Moabite daughters-in-law. Orpah chooses the courage, she makes a courageous decision to go back home. That's the moment that Stacy led us in recognizing last week. But today we are following the journey of Ruth and Naomi as they return back home, as Naomi is going back home with nothing but Ruth, a Moabite. Willie Jennings was one of my seminary professors. He's a wonderful theologian in America right now. And he said that to call someone a Moabite in small town Bethlehem would essentially be to cuss them out. The reason why is because in the book of Numbers, we hear the story of Israel wandering through the wilderness. They're desperate. They need help. And the Moabites actively block their journey. They even try to hire someone to curse Israel, but God won't let it happen. But it had become a part of the memory of God's people, the sacred memory of God's people, that the Moabites were the enemy. Deuteronomy is a retelling of Moses' last sermon before God's people went into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy 23:6, this is what Moses says to God's people. He says, "Never concern yourself with the health and well-being of Moabites as long as you live." Never concern yourself with the health and well-being of Moabites as long as you shall live. And so Naomi is going back home with nothing but the companionship of Ruth, a Moabite. I mean, you can't get to a more desperate place, right? Unless you're Ruth. Ruth is continuing to live without husband, without children, without any economic means of survival, and she is going to a place that for generations has passed down a story of her otherness. She's doing whatever it takes just to live another day, including in chapter 2, we learn that she gleans the fields of Boaz. Gleaning was a social safety net within ancient Israel, where after the people had harvested the fields, those who were hungry and desperate for anything were allowed to go and pick up the scraps. She is in a perilous place, such a place of peril that many commentators have recognized Ruth as a second Abraham. However, unlike Abraham, she left home, she left family, she left country without a future promise from God. She left solely for the sake of love in the present. Friends, how many immigrants in our country today have embraced that same peril of love? Ruth meets Boaz while she's gleaning Boaz's fields. It's a creative interpretation of this moment is on the front of your bulletin. And we hear in Ruth chapter 2 that when Ruth meets Boaz, she's been working in the fields all day, and she sees Boaz, the landowner, and she immediately bows. And what she does is she directs his attention to the wealth or the poverty of her otherness. She says, "Who am I that you notice me, that you recognize me? Do you not know I'm an immigrant?" And immediately, Boaz's response is to draw her attention to the wealth of her love. He shares that her story of faithfulness to Naomi has been circulating through the town. He does the unimaginable, maybe even the unlawful. He promises to protect her. He goes behind the scenes to secure her well-being, making sure that her and Naomi have enough food to eat. Remember Deuteronomy 23:6. Never concern yourself with the health and well-being of Moabites as long as you live. Thank God that Boaz was not a scripted person, but a storied person. We pick up the reading in the lectionary, the part of the story where Ruth continues to do whatever she has to do just to live another day, including the potentially deadly scandal of embracing Boaz in the night. Boaz continues to make room in his life and in his home for the unexpected one, for the immigrant. He even takes on the role, even though he had no obligation to do so, of becoming kinsman redeemer, which means he inherits all of this family line without a future. He inherits all of the risk and all of the debt with no guarantee. And friends, it's a rainy day. You've got time to read Ruth. It's 4 chapters. It'll probably take 20 to 25 minutes. You can do it. You can make the time. I encourage you to go home and read Ruth, because what you will see in this story is how every character in this story makes room for the other and discerns their needs and gracefully and gently seeks to meet their needs. Everyone lives with an openness toward the other that opens up a new future no one could have expected or imagined. A future that would lead to the birth of Israel's greatest king, David. A future that would lead to a young teenage mother named Mary birthing a baby boy named Jesus in a Bethlehem stable. And by our adoption through grace into the story of Jesus, this story of Ruth is our story. One of the defining images of our political life in the United States this year has been that of a closed fist. Independents, Democrats, Republicans, we've all used the language, we're continuing to use the language of fighting and forcing our way into the future. And friends, this story leads me to believe that there's another way. There's another way. Because at every twist and turn of our story, Those who live with an openness toward God and the direction of God, those who live with an openness to allow love to transform the enemy into a beloved friend, those who live with an openness to receive into their life, into their home, into their community, the oppressed, which in our context would be the immigrant, the materially poor, the parent who can hardly find a way to make it from paycheck to paycheck, the transgender teenager who wonders if they have a future, Black and brown and indigenous people in our community, in our city, who wonder if they're safe. When we make room for the oppressed, God leads us into God's good future. And I recognize that living with openness, it's vulnerable. I've learned in my life that you can control and you can set the terms and tone of a fight. You can't control love. Apostle Paul writes that all things are possible, and that means, guess what? It's impossible to control love. You can't do it. And when love leads us and when love directs us, we discover this renewal of hope, and yet it's vulnerable to open up your heart again if your heart is broken today, if you're disillusioned, if you're discouraged about where we are as a nation. It's vulnerable to open up your heart to hope again, to allow God to join your hand with your neighbor in advocating for a new future of peace and justice. If your hands are just calloused from having to make ends meet and working hard just to live another day, it requires an openness to gentleness and grace and mercy to receive the love of a stranger. I mentioned Willie Jennings earlier, and I loved that Dr. Jennings would often tell us that whenever you invite Jesus into your heart, you better be ready to make room for his friends, because he always seems to bring a crowd of friends. It's true. And I've loved the way that our church, over the course of the last week, embraced that posture of openness. That on Wednesday night, we made room to share the table and to create shelter for 13 men in our community experiencing homelessness as part of our partnership with Room in the Inn. I love how on Wednesday night, our children were above us on the fourth floor, singing the songs of our faith and preparing for our Advent candle lighting service when the sanctuary will be flooded with light. Here in the sanctuary on Wednesday night, we came to the table and we received the life and the love of Jesus. We were committed to being a community where we received anyone as if they were Christ. I was especially blessed by a conversation I got to have with one visitor. She had come the night before as a part of our open sanctuary prayer vigil. And I'll just say this, learning moment for the pastor. While in theory, opening up the front doors of your church to the city is a great idea, it's a great image. In practice, it means that when there are 3 to 4 fire trucks on Weston Avenue, and the city utility workers changing the garbage at the bus stop, in practice, it means that you might have echoing sirens and a narthex that smells like trash, okay? That's where we were on Tuesday night. And yet this visitor came, and she was so welcomed by your love that she felt safe. She came, she wanted to receive prayer and also pray for the future of her son. I should also mention that she's Chinese. And we were able to speak to one another through a translation app. And watching your gentleness and your patience and your kindness and your generosity between the exchange was a gift for me. Friends, when we live with an openness to the direction of God's love, with an openness to the power and the possibilities and the people of God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. So may we have the generosity and the kindness of Boaz and make room in our lives for the oppressed, going beyond the obligation of the law in the sake of genuine love. May we draw deeply from the reservoir of Ruth's courage, living with everyday faithfulness and imagination and trust in God's provision, even in the most challenging of times. May the world know of God's grace and God's beauty and God's joy because of you. Amen.
Good morning, West End, or afternoon. I don't know where we are in time. Please rise in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. A memorial service for Richard Scott Lasella, who passed away on October 31st, has been set for Friday, November 15th, at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 10 a.m. in Reed Hall. Elizabeth York Gerlach passed away on Friday, November 1st. Among her survivors are her children, Kim, Scott, and Jeff Gerlach. A memorial service is scheduled for November 22nd at 1 p.m. at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 10:30 a.m. Betty Smith Dobson passed away on November 7th at the age of 103. Among her survivors are her sister and brother-in-law, Lynn and Jack Agee, daughter and son-in-law, Lil and Al McCauley, daughter and son-in-law, Jean and Bill Farris, daughter, Cora Dobson, and son and daughter-in-law, Matt and Ann Dobson. The funeral service will take place on Saturday, November 16th at 1:30, and visitation in Reed Hall beginning at noon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O gracious God, who is fully awake, we are grateful that your love cannot be separated from truth-telling and justice. For too long, we have known complacency and subjugation masquerading as love. Move us toward communities who are capable of the real thing. Our government, our justice system, our institutions have been infiltrated and poisoned by empires whose only goal is the steady, desperate grasping for more power. God, root this out. Raise up leaders who can kneel, who can draw near to those whose power has been overcome by socioeconomic injustice. Expose how evil our systems truly are. May all those we've pushed to the margins rise up and receive what has been stolen from them. May every prisoner remain grounded in their own dignity in a world that sells, trades, and forces them into unpaid labor. May every cop whose hand rushes to the trigger encounter the darkest parts of their own hearts before they discover it at our expense. And may the wealthy contend with the utter void in their own interior worlds that causes them to devour resources and people in hopes of satiating an unfathomable greed. And God, reveal yourself as near to the brokenhearted, the suffering, the imprisoned, the impoverished, and unloved. Make us agents of true restoration in a tired world, that we would commit ourselves to dismembering the schemes of injustice in which love is never complicit. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer that Christ Jesus gave us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, and while here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
I love how Old Testament scholar Ellen Davis calls us to see the book of Ruth. She says that after the cataclysmic storm that is the Judges, is the still small voice of God through the book of Ruth that guides us in how we are to live today. Friends, might we heed that word? Might we be people of great generosity and love and kindness and mercy and meekness? Might we be a people of great hope and light in the world this day? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.